Okay, so we are starting from the two dots on the Testament Aleph, where it says the Al HaRe'emin. Okay, Re'emin.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Re'emin is thunder. Didn't tell me you got the New Testament Aleph, Al Re'emin. It's the wide lines about like a third of the way down. Wrong volume?
We're in three, right?
No, two. Brachos. There's only one and two. No test. Yeah, it's only good. Yeah, that's it. It's, in fact, you can use mine until I get up to the hard part, if you want. All right, I'll rein them. So, one of the brachas that we're going to say that we've been talking about in terms of the brachas, they say, just to remind us, the Mishnah said that you make, beginning a whole parak here. So, the Mishnah had said, that you make on the various Amakato. Here we go. Two dots are aiming itself like a third of the way down in the wide line.
Yeah,
it's the first one in the line. Yeah, a little higher up. Okay, The Mishnah had said you make the bracha of Osamas Abreshus. Okay, so that's what we're discussing again now, going through the various natural phenomena. So the one of them is the Al HaRe'emin. So the Gemara says, My Re'emin. So what it means is not with thunder. We all know what thunder is, but like, how does thunder get produced? This is the Gemara's discussion. So, My Re'emin. So Amr Shmuel, Anane de Galgala, it's the clouds which rationally they collide into each other. As they cycle around, they hit into each other sometimes. Shenemar says an apostle called Ra'amcha Bigagal. Okay, the sound of the Ra'im in this movement as they move through the sky. Heiru V'rakim Tevel. The apostle continues that there was the lightning illuminates the Tevel, the world. Ragza V'chash Aretz, and the earth trembles and it roars. So that is the pasuk that goes with the fact that the thunder comes with the movement collision of the clouds. Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan say, Anani deshafchi maya lahadadi. It's the noise as one cloud sort of pours water into the other. Shenamar, lekol tito hamon mayim b'shamayim. It's the sound of placing this large amount of water into the sky. That's the... Again, another pasuk which seems to indicate a different source of the sound of thunder. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Beraka Takifa, okay, it's like a strong lightning, Devarik Be'anana, which it hits a cloud, Umitvar Gezize Debarza, and what it does is it breaks the path, shatters hail, and then it turns into rain. So Rav Ashi Amar, Anani Chalchule, Michale, where we're talking about these hollow clouds, imagine like an instrument, okay? The Asizika Umenashev Apumayu, and the wind blows and it goes through their openings, and it produces sound. The Dame Kazika Apune Dani. It's similar to, you ever taken like a soda bottle and you blow over the top of it, or the writer talks about the opening of a barrel, so it makes a sound. And depending on the size and shape of the bottle, you can make different sounds, different notes. Play different notes. So, again, the same thing is happening as the wind blows through these two clouds. It produces a very loud noise. Okay. Now, just as an aside, it's interesting. There's two things that are described here from Pesukim, and there are two things that are described more, I would say, as something like you might think of natural phenomena, like the noise of this lightning bolt crashing and shattering the hail, or the noise of the wind rushing through a certain shape, right? So that's something that's natural. And two of the explanations are based on Sukkim. So in general, I think that, we understand that the Torah is what creates, right? The Hashem looked at the Torah and created the world. Zaka b'raisa bar alma. So the way, I understand the natural ones, but why is it that the Pasuk, we're looking to a Pasuk to explain why the thunder happens? I look at science. I look at, either one's looking at an explanation based on sound produced by wind and instruments, and those based on the as we'll see in a second, the sequence of events that we normally notice in the phenomena of the way a rainstorm starts. But the other two are simply based on psukim, nothing that we see, clouds crashing into each other, the idea that one pours water into the other, so those are psukim. And again, the idea is that, Hashem created the world, from the Torah. The Torah is the description of the natural order. That's how they look to the Torah to explain how the world might exist or why things happen. Join us. Come join us. We start. Okay. Yes, you started early. We said 7:35.
7:35 Mincha.
Oh, you got with the Sardin? You said
no,
after Mar.
You said after Mincha.
After Mar.
Early Mar.
Okay, after the early Mar.
After early Mar.
Okay. We finished early Mar. Finished at 7:30. So we just started. We started two seconds ago.
Oh,
we just started. We're talking about the where the source of thunder is from. Yep. So the Gemara that says Mistabakir of Acha Bar Yaakov, it makes sense that the opinion of Acha Bar Yaakov, Divarik Baraka, we see first, right? The first thing we see is the lightning. O Minhame Anane, and then the next thing that we see is we hear the thunder, the Asimitra, and then it rains. So again, that sequence of what we normally experience is what would be the explanation of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Okay, now we're up to Baal Ruchos. The Al Haruchos. Okay, so also on the wind. Now, this is something that really applies to us in Florida. So, my Ruchos, we make the bracha of Osa Masa Breshit. That's the Osa Masa Breshit. That's the bracha that we make on different natural phenomena, of substantial natural phenomena. So, we're talking about my Ruchos, where the wind. So, Amr Abaye, Za'afa. Abaye says it is a extremely strong and windy storm, like a hurricane or like a tornado. The Amr Abaye, Gemire, we have the tradition, Diza'afa Belela Lohave. There will not be this strong storm at night. Anyone who's been to Florida for at least a part of their life knows that the hurricanes come at night also. So the Gemara says, wait, V'haka Chazina Dahave. We've experienced these types of storms at night. What's the tradition? So the Gemara answers, Hahu Das Hule Biyamaba. Now, even those that come at night, there were really beginnings of the storm during the day. The Amr Abaye, Abaye continues and says, Gemire, we have another tradition.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, there started like, this certainly did not just begin, this was not only at night. The Amr Abaye, Gemire, Diza'afa Tarti Sha'i. He says, also, you have the tradition that these type of storms, they only last, this is like, again, I don't know how to explain the Bahamas. He was never in the Bahamas. Diza'afa Tarti Sha'i, they last only 2 hours. Loikai, I'm sorry. They will not last for more than 2 hours. How do we know that? It's based on the pasuk. Kai Mashen Amar, to establish what it says in the pasuk. Lo takum pa'amayim tara. Okay, now the literal translation here is that a misfortune will not come twice. Something bad will happen once, not twice. So we're going to explain what this meant.
They're also doing this from Jerusalem and Babel. I
understand. That's true. They
didn't
have these kind of storms.
Gemara
says, "V'haka chazia dekai." Wait. Gemara says, "No. We see that they last for more than two hours." So Gemara says, "No. The mastic bene. There's always a break. Meaning the storm is not continuous at that stage of fury for more than 2 hours straight. There may be some degree of a break. I don't mean the eye of the storm. It's some kind of a break, and it will continue, but it's not continuous for more than 2 hours. In other words." The pasuk is saying, "Lo takum pa'mayim tzara," that a tzara, okay, a real bad calamity, it will not happen continuously. Rather, it will be broken up. So that is the idea behind me. If you have a calamity which is continuous, that's really bad. It will be less bad if it's broken up into pieces, where there's like a respite for some of that. This refers to the word.
Weather related.
This refers to the storms, heavy, substantial, major storms like hurricanes and like tornadoes. Again, Pashup Shah is that if a hurricane comes,
storms down there over there.
There certainly was, but in terms, that probably would count. Perhaps it turns out. I'm not sure like the degree of the wind, but hurricanes, tornadoes, they definitely experienced either of those storms. So you can make the bracha of Osamas Liberations. Okay, let's continue. The Al Havrakim Omer, and if you see the lightning, Omer Baruch, Shekocho Ugvrasa Male Olam. By the way, that might not correspond with what we say. So on the lightning, you say, Shekocho Ugvrasa Male Olam. The Gemara says, My Vrakim. So what is Vrakim? So Amarava, Barka, it is lightning. But Amarava, Barka Yechida. So just as a side, you should know that if you have one flash of lightning, solitary flash of lightning, Uvraka Chiyura, or a white flash of lightning, uvraka yiroksa, or you have a yellow flash of lightning. Now, yarok in modern Hebrew is green.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's clear in this, that for the language of Chazal, that yarok did not mean green, but meant yellow. For example, the Gemara says in Megillah that Esther was very beautiful. She was yarok. She was yarok yarakrakas. She was yellow, meaning she had a nice tan. She had a sort of a brownish yellow tone to her skin, which was a beautiful tone to her skin. She wasn't milky white. She wasn't too dark. She was this yellow type of complexion. In addition, when the Gemara talks about the baby who's jaundiced, the term for a jaundiced baby who cannot have a bris milah is the tinok hayarok. So it doesn't refer to a green baby. It refers to a jaundiced baby.
Yeah.
So here, too, the vraka yeroksa refers to the yellow flash of lightning. Okay, so those three things. The anane, the salkan, the kerimaravis, so they go, these clouds that they travel in the sky from the corner of the sky that is to the west, and they then go to the southern corner of the sky, that particular pattern of travel. In addition, vitarte anani desalkan bechad apichaver, then two clouds that sort of crash, that sort of go into each other. So kula kashan, those are all bad signs. They're like bad omens to have those things.
West, south.
Yeah, what is that? You know,
it makes sense. It's the jet stream. I mean, if you think about the jet stream, okay. Our jet stream is pretty much west south.
Is that the general
flow
of how
far? Actually, it's not east south for us, but I guess in Bavel, it'll probably be the
opposite. Oh, as it comes down. Oh, I see. Meaning the other side of that stream.
Yeah.
Meaning it's like a big turn like this. I know that there are wind patterns in the world where clouds do have a
turn. Ours would be east south. Ours kind of travels.
No, I thought it goes north. Isn't it going? The jet stream going north.
In the northeast. In the northeast, it's east.
Oh, okay,
it travels east south.
Right.
Okay, and then with us, it travels west.
And so for Babel, it's going. You're saying so. There, you're going. You're saying from north. Wait, and that's a normal pattern. So it's south, north, or is that the opposite of normal? And for them, it's going from north. It made the opposite normal, right? So they're going from north.
They were going west.
They were going west and south. The opposite pattern. So that. No, west south. That's
no, west south
would
actually work for that.
Okay. So again,
we take that west to south. What comes from?
No, I understand.
Africa.
Right, it comes across. No, I know that there's like these global wind currents and patterns of clouds. You know, sort of in general. You like kind of watch the time lapse.
But I think for Bavel, it makes sense.
Okay. So those are bad signs. Interesting. I didn't think about it. Interesting point. So I don't know if the article says anything about it, but interesting. So my math is but who cares? What's the point? So why is it relevant to us? That we have these, these are bad signs. The Nevai Rachne. In order to daven, if you see something that's a bad omen, you should daven for Rachne. Now, Vahani Midlu Beleila. This all refers to things that are occurring at night. Aval Bi Safra, but in the morning, Leisla Mashasha, it's not so, doesn't have such a substantial significance. Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Furthermore, Hani Anani De Safra, Leisla Mashasha. And generally says, when you see clouds in the morning, they don't have any significance. Meaning normally, when you see clouds gathering, you think of a rainstorm coming. But if you see clouds gathering in the morning, it doesn't necessarily mean any rainstorm is going to come. Tichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, again, it's amazing, where we're quoting a Pasuk to substantiate what we're going to describe as a natural phenomenon. Again, I think it's because the Torah really was what Hashem used to create the world, so of course it governs the world. So if the Pasuk says it's a certain way, well, then that's how the world is an expression of it. The same if you look at genes, and you look, if you want to know, okay, the person has blue eyes, if you look back at the genes, you can already predict what the eyes would look like. If you look at a person's genes, you can look at, you predict, you know, certain things about the natural world by looking at the genes, the DNA, and encoded the body. So too, the Torah, if you were able to interpret the Torah, you could predict how the world is going to be manifest as well. So the Pasuk says, "Tichsiv v'chazdechem ke'anan boker." Okay, the Torah here is referring to, I think the whole Pasuk, I can get it here, it says, there you go, see, it says, the Kohamon. What will I do with you, Ephraim? What will I do with you, Yehuda? The chasdechem kanan boker. Your chesed is like a morning cloud. Uketal mashkim holechem, like the passing of the dew. Meaning, in other words, you're not really so set in what you do, your chesed. It's like it comes. Sometimes Rashi says, it's lo kavua. It's not really fixed. Sometimes you do chesed, sometimes you don't do chesed. Hashem is rebuking them and saying, look, you're not always doing the proper thing, you're not always doing chesed. It sometimes comes, sometimes you don't do chesed. So Amr Papa La Abaye, Ha Amri Inche, And people also say kad niftach bebave mitra. So if it rains, if it means in the morning, when the gates are open in the morning, so they tell a person bar chamra moch sakech digani. You know, the one who is the guy who travels with a donkey says, you know, you might as well wrap up your bag and take a nap or go to sleep, meaning it's not worth going out. What we're referring to, Rashi has a whole explanation of what this means. If it rains in the morning, it means it's going to be a very nice rainstorm, very good rainstorm, which means that the crops are going to grow very well. And the person and the donkey driver here refers to a person who's like your quintessential traveling salesman. He's going from town to town with the wheat and other things, the produce that he's selling from town to town. But if there's going to be a very good crop, what's the value of supply and demand? It's going to be a great supply. The demand's going to go down. He's going to have a low price. We're basically telling him it's not worth going out and selling your product because you're not going to get a lot of profit from it. In other words, what we see from this statement is that morning clouds bring nice rain. We said a moment ago that morning clouds are of no omen, they're no significance. So that's the question. So Gemara says, Bokasha, no, that there's no, it's not like this, a contradiction. The Katar Be'eva, one is where you see thick clouds in the morning, that will have a substantial rainfall. The other one is where you only see wispy, kind of sort of small clouds in the sky in the morning. That doesn't have such a significance. So that's the difference. So again, sometimes they have, depending on the look of the clouds, morning rain can be significant or not at all. Okay. Now we're up to Amr Alexandri. Okay. So Amr Alexandri, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He says, "Lo nivru re'enin ella l'shot akomios shebelev." You know why Hashem created thunder in this world? It's because sometimes we lose focus and we're a little bit crooked. So it is to straighten out the crookedness of our heart. Because, I mean, I remember after Shabbos, about 2 weeks, we were walking out of someone's house, Motzei Shabbos, and it literally, I think there was a thunderbolt that happened like right on the circle. And some of you are experiencing the same thing. It was crazy. It was literally as we were walking outside, and I think we all like that was it. We just made a beeline. We like ran to the house as well. But again, it frightens man. So lightning, I mean, sorry, thunder is always something which frightens man. It is to give us a little bit of fright in our heart. Straighten us out. Shenamar says, "By Elokim asa shiru milfanav." Why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem create these things? It is so that we fear from Him. Another statement. Amar Rav Alexandri. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Haroa es hakeshes ba'anan. The person sees the rainbow in the sky. Tzarech shipol apanav. He's got to bow down. Shenemar says the pasuk kimareh hakeshes asher yeh ba'anan. The whole pasuk then continues to say, so like the vision of the rainbow which is in the cloud. The pasuk, which is not quoted here in the Gemara, but it continues and says kain mareh hanoga saviv. So will be the vision of light all around. The pasuk continues, again, it's not in the Gemara, but I'm going to quote it for you. Hu mar'ed demus kvod Hashem. It is the sight of the honor, of the glory of Hashem. Ve'er'eh, and when I see this rainbow, which has light all around, which is like the vision of the honor of Hashem, er'eh ve'epol apanai. I fall on my face, I bow down, I prostrate Hashem to Hashem, myself to Hashem. However, la'iti ala b'marava. They sort of look down upon this. They curse this type of practice in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. Mishum de michse command desagid l'kashta, because it looks like you're bowing down to the rainbow. Really, bowing down to Hashem. So they didn't like that part of the practice. But they did like aba bruche vade mivarch. You should make a bracha when you see the rainbow. My mivarch. What is that bracha? The answer is baruch. The first answer is baruch zocher habrit. Hashem remembers the brit. What is the treaty that He made? He made a covenant that He's not going to bring another marvel to the world. That's when Hashem told Noach, when you see the keshet in the sky, it's because I am reminded, Hashem says, that I'm not going to bring another marvel to the world, another flood, despite if man sins. But Masnisa Tana, Rabbi Yishmael ben Ovsha, Reuchem ben Broka Omer, there was another opinion in the Braisa which taught that we should say a different bracha. The bracha should be, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Achalam, Ne'eman b'briso v'kayim b'ma'amaro. That Hashem is trustworthy in his covenant, and He will uphold His word. So there's two different ways to say the end of this blessing. Amar Papa says, therefore we should say both of them. Put them together. Baruch, and this is what we, and this is in fact what we follow. So if you see a rainbow, you should say Baruch Zocher Habris V'Ne'aman Berbiso V'Kayam B'Ma'amaro, all together. Now, it's interesting that this is not the only time in Shas that a Papa says, "Oh, we have this machlokas and this way." One rabbi says this way, one rabbi says that way, and you're saying we put them together. We have the same thing by the bracha we come out of the bathroom. It's Ashi Yatzar. So we say Rofei Kobasar. We end the bracha by saying Rofei Kobasar. Hashem is the one who heals all flesh. Umafli Lasot. He does wondrous things. Do you know that that is actually machlokas? One opinion says you should say Rofei Kobasar. The other opinion says Mafli Lasot. You should say that Hashem does wondrous things. Comes your papa and says, since there's a debate, let's be Mekai in both of them, let's do both together, and we say both together. We have a similar phenomenon also in different, in another context, by the end of the bracha of the Megillah. There was a lengthy bracha that we say at the end of reading of the Megillah. It's lengthy bracha because there's different opinions as to what we should say in it, and it comes your papa and says, well, since there's a debate, we should bring it together. They say from here, interesting little thing, when we make a siyum, so we say the hadron, and in the hadron, we have a lengthy bracha, and that lengthy bracha has a list of all the sons of Rapapa. It says, Chanin bar Papa, and Rami bar Papa, and Nachman bar Papa, and Achai bar Papa, and Abba Mari bar Papa, and Rapha, all the 10 sons of Rapapa. Why are we listing all the sons of Rapapa? So the answer that one of them say is because Rapapa had such a love of Tamei Chachamim, and such honor and respect for them, that all of his children became Tamei Chachamim. So we see from Rapapa, who always wants to make sure that the statements of the rabbis, could all be, we can fulfill all of them, we can make shalom between them, and not have a machloket. So we're going to say the whole bracha, combining different elements of what the different rabbis had suggested, because of his great honor for them. So he was zocha to have all of his children, who turned out to be Tamei Chachamim. That's why we include it in our hadron, because of the kavod that he had. So again, this is one of the cases where our bracha is influenced by simply trying to match all the opinions. Okay, let's continue. So we're up to the two dots. It says al haharin da al hagavot. So on the mountains and seeing certain high heights and hills. So atu kol hani da amaron al hashta. Wait. So the Mishnah said that you say osa masa breshit. The bracha that you say is osa masa breshit. The Gemara says. Everything we had just mentioned, all the lightning, the thunder, and the winds, everything was osama sabreshit. But then we have another pasuk which says, Brakim lamatarasa, Hashem made the lightning for the rain to do. So Amar Abayi, karuch v'tani. You know, we have to wrap these two parts of the Mishnah together. And what that means, Rashi explains, is with all of these brachos, he believes that actually there's meant to be two brachos that are said. We should say for the wind and the storms and the lightning and the thunder and the comets, the shooting stars, that we should say two brachos for them. That's krochot me, two brachos. We should say O semasa breshit, the one who created the wonders, the act of creation, and then we also should say Baruch Shekocho uvraso mali olam, the Hashem's strength and His might fill the entire world, because those are both demonstrations of Hashem's might, His strength, and also a demonstration of how these are parts of the natural order of the world that are particularly awesome, and if we say them, we give them a bracha. So they see, biases, we say two brachos. Ravas amar, hasam levarach tarte. In those cases, we make two brachos. Baruch shekocho, levarach tarte, baruch shekocho mali olam, v'osam asabreshus. Okay. Oh, Abai said for all. Sorry, let me just make it clear. Abai says for all of the things listed in Mishnah, there are meant to be two brachos. And Rav is coming to say no. What it means is that for the few things that we talked about in the beginning of the Mishnah, sorry, which was the list I first mentioned, when I said the Mishnah has two segments. The Mishnah has the first part which talks about the comets, the lightning, the thunder, the strong storms. Those things have a bracha of shekocho v'rasam olam. That's the first statement of the Mishnah. The second thing the Mishnah says, if you see the big river and you see the ocean, if you see the mountains like New York, you see sights, not natural, not something in the skies and wind, but you come to a part of the world which is incredibly beautiful, incredibly special. So then you say, osamasa bracious. So Abayi had said what it meant was that for all the things you should say both brachos, all the things we just mentioned, the beginning group and the second group. Rav says, no, only the first group has, what we'll say is, Rashi says two brachos, And the second group where you go to, you see a huge mountain, you go to Mount Everest, you just go to the Teton Mountains, you go to the Yamagadol, and you see a large ocean, you see a particularly large river. So those you say, Osa Masturbation, you're only one bracha. However, most of the other Rishonim, the Rush and the Rambam and the Rif, they all say that what Rava meant was you make one bracha, you just make the bracha of Shekocho Vrasa Male Olam. Meaning when you hear the thunder, you should say Shekocho Ugvrasa Male Olam, or the bracha of Osa Masturbation. So you have an option, you have one of the two brachas. For the large, for the mountains, when you see a beautiful sight, if you're on the, you go to part of the world where there's a beautiful, beautiful large mountain, ocean, special, like valley, something very unique, you say Osa Masa Bracious, the wonders of creation. That is how you would say each thing. Now, practically, nowadays, so we often have lightning and thunder, so they come together. So sometimes what we decide in terms of Pesach Halacha is that if you see the lightning, you say Osa Masa Bracious. Because remember, one of the two, either one of the two is acceptable. So when we see the lightning, we'll say Osa Masa Bracious. When we hear the thunder, we say Shekocho Ugvaraso Male Olam, that his strength and his might fill the world. So those are how we end up passing based on this statement of Rava. They have the option for those things, and because we have the option, we'll choose one bracha for the lightning and one the other bracha for the thunder. That's what we tend to do.
They're coming together, one after the other.
Yeah, so if you have a chance, if they come so fast, you're only going to make one bracha because you didn't have a chance. But if you see the lightning and you have a moment to say the bracha before the thunder, so then you'll say the bracha of Osama Sabreshit first, and then you'll make the bracha of Shekocho Gvaros Malilam on the thunder. But if they come so fast, if it's like, the lightning is right here and you hear the thunder right away, so then you just make one bracha of Shekocho Gvaros Malilam. One bracha. Okay? That is the idea. Okay. Let's continue. So, Hacha Osama Sabreshit Zika, Shekocho Malilam, by these, when you see the mountains and you see the big oceans and things like that, so you recognize those as the things that Hashem created in this world during Masa Bereshis, during the creation, but you don't necessarily look at a mountain and say, wow, that's Hashem's strength, that's Hashem's might. That you think about when you see lightning and thunder and those type of hurricanes and those type of natural phenomena. Okay. Amar Yishu Ben Levi. Haroa Rakia B'taharasa. When you see the sky, when it's perfectly clear. Okay, the language here is interesting. Taharata. How would you translate tahara?
Pure. Tahara is...
How would you translate? Tahara, we normally say pure, tahor, pure.
Tahor, pure.
However, we see from here the word tahor is also translated as something that's clear, something that is without blemish, totally clear and clean, and where there's nothing obscuring your sight, nothing not obscured, nothing opaque. In other words, tahara is where everything is, your avodah is clear. That's tahara. When you mix in tumah is when your avodah, when your path in life, when you're saying you're supposed to do, when your body, it has been blemished and defiled with something that is a mixture. It's not foreign to you, it's supposed to be a little bit. So that is the idea where the sky, when the Gemara here is saying, when you see the sky, bitarata means it's perfectly clear, perfectly no clouds at all in the sky. You just see the blue. So Omer, when you see that, you should say Omer Baruch Osa Masa Bereshis. Also, you should say the same thing, the bracha of Osa Masa Bereshis. Hashem created the sky, because when Hashem created the sky, there wasn't clouds yet. That meaning it took some time until there was clouds. Initially, Hashem just created the sky; it was perfectly blue. When you see that, you're reminded of the creation. Emasai, when is that? So Amar Abaye Ki Ata Mitra Kuli Leila. This the exact case when this happens would be when you make this bracha is it rains all night. Ubitzafra in the morning, Ata Astanta Astana, the north wind comes, Umegalya Luhu Lishmaya. And they blow all the clouds away, meaning it rains all night, then the north wind comes, it blows all the clouds away, and in the morning it's perfectly clear. Like almost like a front, a weather front comes through and it clears the sky. That's when we make the bracha. However, this opinion, which by the way we don't follow, because it argues with Rafram Bar Papa, Amar of Chista, Rafram Bar Papa said in the name of Rav Chista, Miyom Shechara Beis HaMikdash, from the day that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Lo Nir'is Rakia B'Tarasa. There isn't the pure clarity of the sky. There's always something hazy up in the sky. It's never as clear. Again, because it says in the pasuk Shenemar, the Abish Shemaim Kadarot, Kedarot, Hashem says, Kadrut?
Kadrut.
No, Kadrut, Kadrut. Hashem says, I cloaked the sky with blackness, with some darkness. The sak asim kisutam, and I made their garments sackcloth. In other words, something hazy, something opaque. That again, the world was affected when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The sky itself is not the same sky as it was before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So that's why we don't make that bracha. Okay, we're going to do a few more lines. I'm going to read them. This is a part of the astrology. Okay, I don't know if you like astrology. So if you like astrology, this is going to be a bit fascinating. You can help me out. If you don't like astrology, then just we'll read it and we'll get past it. But the basic idea is very simple. So Tanur Rabbanan, on the top of the page, if you see the moon back in its original place where it was at the moment of creation, when the sun was created, remember what day was the sun was created? The heavenly bodies were all created on the fourth day of creation. Fourth day.
What does it mean?
If you see the chama at the same,
see the sun when?
We're going to explain it. When you see the sun in the same time, in the same place of the sky where it was when the world was created. Okay, we'll explain it. We're going to explain it. I'm just going to read. I told you. I'm first going to read it, and then I'm going to explain it.
So that's the first you make. You make a bracha for that, or levana bi gvurasa, or the levana in its strength, or kochavim bi misulasam,
or the stars in their orbit. Again, all these things are referring to where they were at the time where they were created. Eitan. Okay. And then umazalot kisidram, or you see the zodiac, the constellations in their order. Omer, you should say baruch osa masa bereshis. The same thing. You should say that same bracha before. Everyone adds in the word masa. Everyone adds
masa.
I know the Gemara doesn't have, but it's osa masa bereshis. Okay. The emas havu. We're going to do one thing at a time. We'll read it and we'll explain it. When is this? Amar abaye kol chafchet shanim. Every 28 years, we make what's called a birchas hachama. The last Birchas Hachama was Erev Pesach 2009. Okay, before that, it was 1991. So every 28 years, it will be Birchas Hachama. Okay. Next one, 2037. Okay, circle the calendars. The Hadar Machzor, and at that time, everything comes back to its place. V'nafla, Tzukufas Nisan, we'll have to explain what this is. Tzukufas Nisan, the spring equinox, Bishabtai, in the hour where Saturn is reigning, we'll explain all this. The Ursa Detlat Nahage Arba, at the night of Tuesday, at the beginning of Wednesday, meaning the very beginning of Wednesday night, the Tuesday night. Remember, the way the Jewish calendar works is that Tuesday night is really Wednesday, meaning tonight, right, is already Monday in Jewish time. So it's the very it's a night of Tuesday, which is the beginning of the day of Wednesday. That, which we'll explain, is when you will say, when that happens, which only happens astrologically every 28 years, is when you will say the Birchas Hachama. The Birchas Hachama, people tend to go out Erev Pesach. This is when this occurs at the spring equinox. Okay, and we will make that bracha again. It's every 28 years. So that's the last of these. We're talking about these special brachas we're going to discuss tonight. So now let me explain what is Birchas. I'm going to try my best. What is Birchas Hachama? Okay, so. For this, I'm going to jump to this for a minute. So I'm going to try.
What do you see?
I'm going to explain. You ready? So here's how it works. Okay. So the sun, I don't know if it's best to visualize it. The sun goes around. Okay. We go around the sun, but it looks to us like the sun goes around, meaning everything spins around the earth. It looks from our perspective, from the vantage point of someone on earth, everything spins around the earth. Okay. In a portion of the night sky, if you think of there's up in the top of the night sky, there are constellations. The constellations called the zodiac. There are 12 of them. They occur. They don't occur anywhere in the sky. There's lots of the stars fill the entire night sky. The zodiac happens to only occupy a certain portion of 16 degrees wide area of the sky. It's not the entire circumference of what's the stratosphere. It's a narrow path. Meaning it's only those stars which fall within that section of the sky, They always appear in that section. They do wobble a little bit, as we'll discuss in a minute, as to where they appear slightly, sometimes slightly north of us, sometimes slightly south of the midpoint of the sky, but they are within this sort of 16-degree wide section. In addition, if you think of the Earth turning, revolving, right, if you think of the what's going to be around the Earth, I'll show you a picture of it, it's going to be 360 degrees, divided by 12 means 30 degrees each. So if you divide the entire circumference of the circle by 12, it's 30 degrees. Each of these constellations occupy 30 degrees of that entire segment of stars, and they've broken them into constellations. So if you look at this picture, okay, so from our vantage point, this is the Earth, and we're going around the Sun. So as we go around the night, you're going to see different constellations. Now, you won't see all the constellations at night because half of them are behind us, right? Okay, so you're going to start out with one of them as it rises in the, again, it's just like the Sun. It's going to rise in the east and set in the west. It's going to go rising up in the east, and the next one will follow. Every 30 degrees, another one will come, okay, until the end of the night. That's the idea, 12 hours. So you're going to have only a certain, half of them are going to pass through the night. And depending on which part of the year we're in, we're going to see different parts of this zodiac, which is why, of course, they attach different months to different parts of this zodiac. Now, as I said, at night we see them in the night sky, but during the day they're also passing through. You just can't see them because of the Sun. Okay, so that at the beginning of the day, the Sun rises. Okay, if you think of it from the perspective of the Sun, we see if the Earth is being blocked. So at one point, let's say 6 a.m. on a perfect day, the Sun is rising in the east. At the same time, that one of these constellations is also rising in the east. Okay, meaning we are looking; the Sun is rising, and a constellation is rising at the same time. Now we can't see it because the light of the Sun blocks the constellation. We can see the constellation at the end of the night that came just before the Sun rose, so we know what came before. But again, in the morning, there's a Sun is rising at the same time that a constellation is also rising up in the sky as well. Same idea. Okay, so that's the first thing to know. Okay, the next thing is that the Sun, because of the Earth's tilt, moves between, it doesn't always stay perfectly in the center of the sky. So if you're in the equator, and we're close to the equator, so it happens more or less to us also, the Sun at the spring and at the summer equinox, no, spring, sorry, the spring and the fall equinox, so in Nisan and Tishrei, so about, September 21st, I think, is the equinox. So the day is a perfect day in terms of 12 hours of night and 12 hours of day. That's, if you're at the equator, that's exactly what's going to happen. The Sun travels exactly through the center of the sky on those days because of the fact that we tilt. Earth tilts
a little bit
at different parts of the year. So therefore, it looks from the perspective of Earth that the sun will start moving, rising in the horizon. Instead of it coming up at this spot, it'll move over one spot a little bit, going to the south in the winter towards its apex, and then start coming back. When it goes the farthest way, meaning the Sun rises and runs across the southern sky in the winter, and it runs across the northern sky, not all the way to north, but somewhat north of the middle of the sky, so that if you look up at noon, you will not see the Sun directly above. You'll see it off to the north or off to the south, depending whether you're in the summer. The middle of the summer is to the most extreme in the north, and the middle of the winter will be to the most extreme, right, in the summer solstice, and the winter solstice refers to the most extreme deflection of the Sun. Now, the Sun is going 365 degrees. Its revolution is 365 days, and there's 360 degrees in an arc. So approximately, it moves 1 degree off-center or back to center at every point of the year, which means that from our perspective, the Sun is going like this around us, essentially. And over the course of a year, it's moving around the sky as well, because at different parts of the year, it is crossing this way or crossing this way or crossing directly ahead, or in the summer moving north, meaning also makes an ellipse around us. Okay, that's the second point. Okay, it's called a heliocentric system. Also moves around. The moon does the same thing. The constellations also do the same thing. Same idea. Okay. Now, the explanation in terms of the time of the year, so for when these things will occur, the assumption is that the solar year is 365 and a quarter days. That's the assumption, 365 and a quarter. Okay, that's why every 4 years we have a leap day in the solar system. So 365 and a quarter. I know that's not even perfectly precise, but that's how we understand it in terms of Chazal. The first Tekufa of Nisan, the very first time where it was a perfect day and the sun was created, the assumption was that was created at the beginning of the night. So that the sun was created on what was the very beginning of the fourth day of creation. It was really Tuesday night, meaning that the night of Tuesday is the beginning of Wednesday. Therefore, all the celestial bodies were created and fixed in their positions where they should be at that moment, the fourth day of creation. Now, when was Will created? Will was created in Nisan. That there's a debate whether it's Nisan or Tishrei. We follow the assumption that it's Nisan. The world was created in Nisan. And where did Hashem put the sun? In which spot in the heavens relative to the earth? And he could have put it anywhere. He could have put it, remember we said, the moon, the sun travels across the sky at different parts of the year. So he put it in Nisan.
Sun doesn't travel, we travel.
We travel, I understand. But we're all relative to what we would see on earth. I understand. But relative to our vantage point, Hashem put the sun in the location of the spring solstice, meaning he put it directly above. Right? Remember, in the summer, it's deflected in the winter on the south, in the summer in the north. But in the spring and in the fall, like we are now, the sun is traveling, if you're by the equator, directly overhead. And he put it, and he created it at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night, which is really the first moment of Wednesday. Okay, on the perfect day. The sun's going to set, the sun sets at its creation. But it sets at the location in the sky, which it would be for that exact solstice. Okay? That's the idea. Now, that occurs on the 14th of Nisan, the middle of the month. The way in which you break up the year. So if we want to know, where is the next quarter going to be of the year? So it's 365 and a quarter divided by 4. Okay, if we do that, you get, take my word for it, you take get 91 days and 7.5 hours. So 365 days and a quarter, okay, divided by 4 will give you exactly 91 days, which happens to be 13 weeks, okay, 13 weeks, and 7.5 hours. So if the Tekufa of Nisan, the equinox, occurs at 6 p.m., then the next Tekufa, the summer solstice, right, will occur 13 weeks later, so it's going to occur on the same day of the week, meaning a full 13 weeks from the past. Let's assume, remember, going back to creation, the sun was set in its path on a Wednesday, 6 p.m., really the Tuesday night, but it's Wednesday. We can't call logically, whoever, it's considered Wednesday. Wednesday, 6 p.m. When's the next solstice? If you're thinking, 3 months after creation, or essentially 91 days and 7.5 hours later of creation, we're going back to then, where would the summer solstice occur? What day? So it's going to be 13 weeks, so it's exactly now 6 p.m. Tuesday, which is the beginning of Wednesday, plus 7.5 hours. That's going to be 1:30 a.m. So it's from 6 p.m., another 6 hours, another hour and a half, to 1 a.m. So it's going to be Wednesday at 1 a.m. early in the morning. Again, let's go another solstice now to the fall equinox in September. Remember, we're in the first year of creation. Okay, when is that occurring? That's going to occur, again, 13 weeks exactly. So it's going to be Wednesday again. But it's going to occur 7.5 hours later. So instead of 1:30 a.m., it's going to be 9 a.m. Okay, so 7.5 plus 1.5 is going to be 9 a.m. So 9 a.m. on Wednesday. Again, now let's go to the next time. Now it's the winter solstice. That's the next time period. That's another 13 weeks plus another 7.5 hours. So it's going to be still Wednesday, because again, it's Wednesday, 13 weeks later. It's the next Wednesday, next Wednesday, next Wednesday, next Wednesday, 13 weeks, plus another 7.5 hours to 4:30 p.m. Okay, so you go from 6 p.m., 1:30 a.m., 9 a.m., 4:30 p.m., okay? So the next time, though, if you now imagine after the first year of creation, year two, the beginning of the year two of creation, this is now we've gone a full year, you get back to Tkufas Nisan. When does that fall out? That, again, is going to be 13 weeks, 7.5 hours. That's going to get you to, again, 6, not, we were, last time we were at 4:30 p.m., so another 6 hours is 4:30 a.m., another hour and a half is going to be 7, that's 7.5 hours, is going to be 6 a.m. So it's going to be 6 a.m., that's going to be the following day. So we have gone a full cycle. So from the creation was that the sun was in the position wherever it was in creation, first at 6 p.m., but a year later, at the same tkufa, it's going to appear in the same location in the sky, though, at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. Okay, not the same time. Same place, but different time. Okay. And this repeats itself every 4 years. It's going to repeat itself, if you think about it, 6 p.m. is the first time. 4 years later, it's going to be 6 a.m. But the only possible times it will fall out is 6 p.m., 12 midnight, 6 a.m., or 12 noon. Every 4 years, it's going to be at different times. Because this total deflection of 7.5 hours multiplied by 4 is the idea. Okay? This is to understand. Why is every 20 years? Why is every 28 years? We all know how we get to 28 years. So every 4 years, you get back to that same spot. Now, you get back to every 4 years, you get to a different time. Now, what happens is, we said that the next year, it's going to be on a different day of the week. So because the, so every, after 4 years, the tkufa will occur 5 days later in the week because it was, for every 4 years, you jumped a day ahead plus a quarter of a day ahead. So every 4 years, you get 5 days ahead of where you were. That makes sense. In other words, every year, every cycle, okay, we are occurring a year later plus a little bit. That little bit is a quarter times the 5 years, so it's basically 4 or 5 days. So in other words, at the end of the Tkufas Nisan occurred on Wednesday of the first year of the cycle, so that four years later, it's going to occur on 5 days later in the cycle. So it'll be on Thursday. I'm not sure if I'm clear about this. So in other words, let's say it simply. Everything's occurring in even numbers, 91 days, which is 13 weeks, plus 7.5 hours. 7.5 hours times 4, because there's 4 tkufas of the year, 30 hours. That's easy, 30 hours. 30 hours means that at the end of 1 year, we've advanced, the sun will get back to its spot at the same day of the week, plus 30 hours, which means it's a day later, plus change, plus a day and a quarter later, right? 30 hours is 24 hours plus a quarter of a day. So 1 1/4 days later. At the end of 4 years, the sun is going to be back in the same spot five calendar days from where it started. Okay, so if it started on Wednesday of this year, the next year it's going to be Thursday, the following year it's going to be Friday, it's going to be eventually every 4 years, it's going to be the next time it's back to the same spot where it was. Okay, it's going to be, so we want it to be back in the spot at 6 p.m., meaning it starts at 6 p.m., the next year it's 6 a.m., next year it's 12, next year it's 12, next year it's 6. So when does it get back? When it gets back to 6 p.m., it was created at 6 p.m., so that next time the spring equinox will occur and the sun is exactly in that spot, but it happens to be the time of day at 6 p.m., and it happens to be the day of the week is Wednesday, it's only going to occur seven times of 4. So you need 4 cycles to get back to 6 a.m., that's fine, but you also, at 6 a.m., the next time around is going to be the order, the sequence that teaches, it's like an astrological thing. It goes Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday, Tuesday, Sunday, Friday. The next time around is another 5 days later. From Friday, it's going to be Wednesday again. So the sequence is after 7 cycles of 4 cycles, so 4 years. Every 4 years, it gets back to 6 p.m. And every 7 times of 4 years, it gets back to 6 p.m. on a Wednesday. So that's why every 28 years, Birchas HaChama will occur where the sun is essentially setting on Tuesday night at the exact time of the spring equinox on a Tuesday night at 6 p.m. That is at the same location of the sky where it was created at the same time of day, at the same day of the week. Those are the things that all come together. And that will only occur every 28 days. That's the basic idea. So that is what the Gemara is explaining, is why if you see the sun in that position at that time of where it was created, we know it was created, as we said, at the spring equinox, it's only going to occur on Erev Pesach every 28 years.
So there is no argument about the Earth, you know, circling the sun.
No, they knew.
Exact same time.
Yeah. It's not, well, it doesn't, I mean,
the Earth is circling the sun.
Correct. Every 365 days of course.
Yeah, exactly. There's no.
Well, it's like every 365 days in a quarter plus a few.
Okay, so the trick is just the day of the week that
correct.
It's happening.
It's the day and the time. And the time
that
happens.
The day and the time.
Because again, we said that the equinox is not going to occur at the same time. Because it's going to be a quarter of a day off.
I'm not going to hold
it's going to be a quarter of a day off. I understand. But if you want to take anything away, that's what I said. The simple understanding of the Gemara is basically every 28 years, there's a special bracha that we will make.
Yeah.
Next time will be 2037. We're going to make that bracha when the sun is back in where it was at the time of Ma'at Separation.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And the explanation is what we just kind of said, which is what Abai said, is the way in which it's going to occur at that time. It happens to be, we didn't get into it, but that's when Saturn is in reigning.
Like the way astrologists know when it's going to be the eclipse and all that. They know exactly
This is the wisdom of astrology as it applies to a halakha.
But it's amazing that
Chachamim knew that. They knew it. Astrology is not like some kind of hocus pocus.
It was not invented
in astrology is
our time.
Astrology is an understanding of the way Hashem created the world. Hashem made the earth in a certain way and the moon in a certain way and the sun in a certain way. So that's the explanation. Any questions on it? I'm happy to re-explain it, but it's the... All right, so let's stop over here.
I wonder if
we'll pick up from next time.